about to hear a life-changing message preached at Revival International Memphis by the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay.
In Mark 16, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." In this Sunday's message, Reverend Lindsay preaches reasons why every believer must speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a promise to every believer. You are able to pray according to God's will when you speak in tongues. So let us listen to this anointed word and exercise our faith by speaking in tongues and developing a closer relationship with sweet Holy Spirit. Be blessed.
Those who know your name,
those who know your name,
make a move for the Lord,
put their trust in you. There is no other,
there is no other faithful God,
so loving,
so loving and true.
Those who know,
those who know your name,
are you dancing?
Trust in you.
Look.
There is no other,
there is no other faithful God,
so loving and true.
Oh, how I love,
oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
How I love,
oh, how I love his name so sweet.
How I love.
Let everybody that has breath praise the Lord.
No other than me.
Now you jump, go, go down low.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
How I love.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
How I love.
Up, 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 up.
No other name means more to me.
Hallelujah.
Put your hand on your heart this morning. Bible says God sees not as man sees. God, he looks on the heart. But man looks on the outward. I don't know how nicely you dressed to church today. But if your heart is not clean, it's not good dressing. God says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their distractions. God says he sent his word and he washed them with the washing of water by the word. I pray as we put our hands on our hearts that our hearts will be washed. Washed, the washing of water by the word. Cleansing, purifying, purging, that we may be blessed. Your word says, blessed is he who is not defiled, who walks in the way of the Lord. We bless your name. Deliver us from defilement. Let your word urge us unto perfection. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence, the anointing that breaks the yoke. In Jesus Christ's mighty name we pray. All the saints shall say amen. Please put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. You may please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Today we want to continue our series on the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody say the Holy Spirit. Say the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, last week we started the service as though we were ending. With what scripture? 2 Corinthians, good. Chapter 13, verse 14, which is the grace, isn't it? Let's go back to it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. And let's all say it together. Shall we say the grace? Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and be with us forevermore. Amen. Be with you all. Amen. That's what 2 Corinthians 13 40. Now you know where the grace comes from. Grace comes from this scripture. Okay. Now, this scripture is one of the most important scriptures. In fact, the church that was the most notorious and most famous to Paul. There are only few churches that Paul wrote to them twice. In fact, I don't think there's any church that Paul wrote to them. In fact, he wrote to them three times. That's a church in Corinth. Every other one, 1 Timothy and Thessalonians twice. But this, he wrote to them three times. So in the 2 Corinthians, he said, I'm writing you the third time because of how notorious they are. Now, and he ended that what we need. And the world today is like the church of Corinth. Any bad thing. I mean, they had so much fornication that somebody was sleeping with his own father's wife. And they were happy. They were clapping for the guy. And Paul said, you are not even ashamed. Because there's kind of sins that take place. Not even the world experiences it. I mean, the world will have girlfriends, but they will not go and sleep with their father's concubine or wife. And so Paul was very angry. And then he told them, what will be needed is the grace of the Lord Jesus. What will be needed to make the church work, to make the Christians restored, to strengthen the Christians, was this. It says, as I'm going, if you don't remember anything, remember these things, the last verse. The last words of a man is usually the loaded summary of what he would like you to have. And he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with every one of you. Somebody say amen. And last week we learned that we all believe, know why we need the grace. Grace means undeserved favor. For all have come short of the glory of God, and we need grace. By grace are you saved. So grace is not uncommon. Everybody, you say, oh, how are you doing? Oh, by the grace of God. How many have heard that before? How many have said, oh, when they ask, how are you? Say, oh, by the grace of God. How many have said that before? Very common. And then the second, so it's very common in the church. And the love of God, how many know that God loves us? How many have told somebody that God loves you before? How many have confessed that God loves me before? For God so loved the world that he gave. So you see all these, so family, you can come and sit by Brother Michael. So we say this a lot. God loves you, and the love of, we hear it commonly in the church. How many have heard? So how many have had the grace of God before? How many have said the love of God before? How many in your common, on the other hand, in your regular everyday language, hear and the communion of the Holy Spirit? How many hear it commonly? Oh, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Be shocked. It's not that it's not common. It doesn't happen at all. Nobody says, I pray that the communion of the Holy Spirit will be with you. I say, oh, by the grace of God, I'll be there. Where the love of God will see me through. But whether you like it or not, it is the communion of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ brought to us. That's when he was leaving. Last week I taught you that when Jesus was going, he said in John chapter 16, verse 7, John chapter 16, he said he was going to leave and the people were crying. He said, because I said I was leaving, you're crying. And he said in verse 7, it is to your advantage that I go away so that, because if I do not go away, your helper, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So last week I said that God is in heaven. May the grace of our Lord, and Jesus Christ our Lord, is in heaven as well. He's not on earth. He's seated at the right hand of God. He himself said he will go, and he will send somebody who will replace him, who will be to us as Jesus was. So don't cry. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Jesus Christ himself said, God says, I should come and give you the Holy Spirit so that he will replace me. Therefore, anybody who is a Christian who emphasizes Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit, you don't know who you have. It's just like a currency. America changes the dollar note to blue. and you want to just stay with the green notes, because that's what you're used to. Meanwhile, the government says, we recall the green notes. God says, I have taken back Jesus. I've replaced him with the blue notes, which is the Holy Spirit. I said, no, for me, I will only, you'll be hungry. You will have the green notes, but you'll be very hungry. You will not be rich. Because it's useless. Now, I am not saying that Jesus is useless, but I'm saying Jesus, the useful one to you, has himself said, I have to go. And I'm not here anymore. But I am not leaving you alone. I'm bringing you a replacement. So John chapter 14, from verse number 16. Let's read it again. New King James. John chapter 16, verse 14, verse 16. And it says, and I will pray the Father. Jesus is saying that my prayer for you, I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter or helper. That's the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus abode with us for 33 years. But the one who's coming will abide with you forever. Then verse 17. And he said, verse 17, that is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. He's not for the world. He's for the church. He's for believers. So when believers reject the Holy Spirit, they have become like the world, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. It will be, crazy to tell an unbeliever, hey, the Holy Spirit wants you to talk to him. They would think about you, are you crazy? Now, the church has become that naive and ignorant. When you tell somebody, the Holy Spirit, they say, are you crazy? Who is the Holy Spirit? And I'll prove it to you. And he said, they don't see him and they don't know him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be inside of you. Then the next verse, verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The form of the Holy Spirit. Now, the world doesn't know the Holy Spirit. The world definitely doesn't know the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says it. Jesus himself said it. But is it true that Jesus, he thought that we know him? But is it true that we know him? That's why we don't say the communion of the Holy Spirit. Because Paul went to a place of believers, Acts chapter 19, from verse number 1. Watch this. Acts chapter 19, from verse 1. And it happened when Apollos was in Corinth. The church in Corinth. That's why God says, look, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit. They didn't know him. Paul went to that church in Corinth, where 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. He went there. And that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples, look at the church in Ephesus, the church in Corinth, the disciples' reaction. Verse 2, finding disciples, followers of Jesus, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? What do you think the answer was? Surprise, surprise. They said to him, we have not even so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. In fact, whether there be a Holy Spirit, an object. It's like, we didn't know that there was a chair in the church. We didn't know there was a microphone. We didn't know there was a pulpit. We didn't know there was a cup. A thing like the Holy Spirit. They refer to, what is that? Somebody went once to witness and went to the people. Said, do you know Jesus Christ? He said, the person said, oh. How long has he been here in this village? Is he fair? Is he dark? Absolutely. Do you know Jesus? But really, you describe him, and if I know him, I'll let you know, because I've been in this village for a long time. They didn't know anything. The church is like that. They don't know the Holy Spirit. We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. Even that word "a." Is an article for an object, or what do they call it? An improper noun. Proper nouns are people names, and this one, a Holy Spirit. I've not even heard whether what you are saying is even true. I don't know. That's what he said. That's the church, and they were disciples, and that's the church today. Although Jesus himself. It was so important. Holy Spirit was so important. Jesus died and went to the grave. And when he arose, his main subject was the Holy Spirit. He said, you guys, I know you. You didn't get it when I was around. And he thought, the Spirit that raised me is the Spirit I'm giving to you. And he spoke to them and he said in Acts chapter 1 that you should not leave Jerusalem, verse 4, until you have received the promise of the Father, which you heard from him. You should not leave. You should not start your Christian life without him. Yet we live our whole Christian life without the Holy Spirit. And last week, as I was sharing, I could see people could not understand. And so we learned that the word koinonia and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. That's the reason why this is used as the last thing that is said in every church before you leave. Because the church that's in Corinth, which is a typical church, Paul said it as the last thing before he signed off as a pastor. Every pastor who preaches, if you want to be like Paul, you should make sure that the people share the grace before you go. But I think we should not say the grace anymore. We should not call it the grace. We should call it the communion of the Holy Spirit. We should share the communion of the Holy Spirit. Because everybody knows about the grace. We should not share the love because they know about the love. We should, okay, let's share the communion of the Holy Spirit. That will remind people that as you are going, it's the communion. And unfortunately, it's a third statement of the grace. That's why we say, and the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit. So that word koinonia, that word fellowship or communion is the word koinonia in Greek, which means the Holy Spirit participation and the participation of the Holy Spirit. Partnership of the Holy Spirit. It means the Holy Spirit has a function, has a role. He wants to partner with you. The Holy Spirit can do nothing by himself. Very gentle. The Holy Spirit, no spirit can operate on this earth without an object of a human being. Even when Jesus Christ cast out the demons from the madman, thousands of demons, he had to cast them. He said, please, cast me out. Don't cast. Where would you go? He said, we'll go into the pigs. So when the demons' spirits went into the pigs, they drove the pigs into the sea and killed all of them. That's what they wanted to do to the madman of Gadara. No spirit can operate in vacuum. Now, so Jesus Christ, when he came, he left the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit will empower all of us, will enter everyone and help you to live the Christian life the way Christians should live it. So Christianity means Christ-likeness. And Christ means the anointed one. And anointing means the Holy Spirit. So Christian, your name is the Holy Spirit people. The anointed people. Christ means the anointed one. Anointing means the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. How do I know? Acts chapter 10 verse 38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power so that he could go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Let me tell you, when you say God is with you, it means the Holy Spirit is with you. How God himself, even Jesus, couldn't do anything in this earth, anything Christian, until he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And you want to live your life with the Holy Spirit and with power. You're not even Jesus. You're not even G. Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good. Healing. Let me tell you, you will be good for nothing without the Holy Spirit as a Christian. Your Christianity won't work. Jesus told his own disciples that he had taught for years, that look, if you don't get the promise, don't even dare start your Christianity. And God didn't leave Jesus without the anointing. He came upon him by the Holy Spirit. And so Christians are often, Christianity doesn't work. Look, you have been trying to overcome sin. It's not possible without the Holy Spirit. To stop lying, it's not possible without the Holy Spirit. To read the Bible and understand, it's not possible. You can do no good. Christ is the anointed one. Christianity is the anointed people. Is the anointing is the Holy Spirit. So Christianity is the Holy Spirit, guys. And if we only are love of God, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, no Holy Spirit communion, Believe me, your Christianity won't work. And that is the reason why we find the world in the church. But there's no power. What I want you to know from today, accept the fact that you cannot live your Christian life without the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said it, Jesus emphasized it, and died and came back and said it again and again. Actually, when he was leaving, that was the last thing he said. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Watch this. And Bible says, the Christians didn't understand what he was saying. And he said, and ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall become witnesses. Next week, we are doing one soul for sure. One soul for keeps, right? Operation sit by your soul. You cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. He said, and when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall become witnesses to me. A witness is somebody who becomes proof that something happened. When people see you, they should know that Jesus indeed came. The way your life changes, the way your life impacts, the way you are transformed, even your parents should know that you are different. But without the Holy Spirit, you'll be seen as, you can go to church. Listen, I keep telling you that if the fact that you work at McDonald's like Camille does not make you a burger. He comes every year. We haven't eaten here. It should be easy. This is burger, so let's eat. She's been in McDonald's. She's gone to Olive Garden. And we don't find a garden here. We still are not eating her. Because your presence in a place that is full of McDonald's does not make you McDonald's. Does not make you a burger. Going to church does not make you a Christian. It will never make you a Christian. That's why you're surprised that, why am I still fornicating? Why am I still not reading the Bible? Why do I still hate prayer? Yeah. Why am I still a sinner? Why am I still cursing? Because you don't have that power. Nothing has changed. But your change has come. Say amen. Yeah, your change has come. It says you the power to do any change, the power to become Christian, Christ-like, Holy Spirit-filled and empowered. The power, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you become witnesses. You become proof. To me, Jesus, in Jerusalem, that's in your house. In Judea, that's around your neighborhood. In Samaria, that's even when you go to school and elsewhere. And everywhere, even to the end of the world. Bible says, this was so important for him to see. Immediately he finished this and told them, this is how to get Christian power. He left, verse 9. Watch this, verse 9. And now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Last thing he said, so important, he had to get up from the grave to come and remind Christians. He's gone, but we still don't remember. The Holy Spirit's important. Importance. That's why me as a Christian, I don't live even one day without calling the Holy Spirit to help me. Yeah. At my workplace, in my prayers, in my car, for worship, before I read the Bible. Why do you think I understand the Bible and I'm explaining it to you? It's not because I'm a special person, because I'm doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit, which you also should have and activate. That's why the Bible says, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. A lack of the knowledge, and the devil likes it. Because if I can't keep them from accepting Jesus, let me keep them from having power. From today, do nothing without the Holy Spirit. And so we said, and the partnership, partner with the Holy Spirit, and the communion. And we said, one of the words koinonia means, it means to partner with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. It means to let him participate in everything. It means his contribution. It means his participation. But the one I like the most is social intercourse. Social intercourse. All we know is sexual intercourse. It's not sexual intercourse. Intercourse is into your course. You know, you're going this way. Somebody is going this way. Your paths mingle. You are into each other's courses. Race course, when they are running 100 people, you shouldn't cross. But he can cross your path, he can cross your paths are crossed. You intersect. I mean, there's no difference between your activity and his activity. Like a husband and wife, your name is my name. Your children are my children. Your bed is my bed. You know, your course is my course. Social intercourse. Think about intercourse the way you know it and see the Holy Spirit having social, this time it's not sexual, it's social. It means every activity that you are involved in, he must be involved in it. That's how God made it. No, nothing, my child, everything that he's doing, I'm part of it, my children. I mean, when you see mommy, her drive here, I was involved. Her hair, I'm involved. Yeah. The choice of school, I'm involved. That's right. What she ate this morning, if she ate bananas, I am involved. Now, I'm serious. That's how serious it is. That's how intimately intertwined the intercourse is. The choice of university she will attend, I am involved. Yeah. If she likes, she should go to her university. Whether she will be paid, it will be paid. If she likes, she shouldn't involve me. There will be no power to go to school. If you like, don't involve the Holy Spirit. There will be no power to live your Christian life. I'm telling you. No wonder you're still the way you are, for those who are. But the people that have engaged the Holy Spirit, they moved from their old life long ago. Long ago. Don't be the surprise that I am working as a physician and I'm still preaching so powerfully and so nicely. You could have been preaching like that if you had engaged the Holy Spirit intercoursing with him since you became so-called born again. So important is it that when God was talking about the birth, the new birth, he did not define it without the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, he says, that which is born was, John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, verse 6 said, that which is born of the Spirit. Said, give me verse 5 first. Verse 5. Jesus answered, most assured I say to you, unless you are born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, if you are not born of the Spirit, reorganized, reborn, rebirthed, restart. You don't reset yourself with both water. Water is the word. Washing of water by the word and the Holy Spirit. You will not be born again. You cannot enter the kingdom, the power of God, except from today. Intentionally invite the Holy Spirit in everything you do. Acknowledge him in everything you do. Jesus said, most assured. That means I mean it with all 100% certainty. For sure. Someone say for sure. Without a doubt. Jesus said, I am saying with you for sure. Unless you are born with water and with the Spirit, you have not even started. You cannot. It's impossible. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. God cannot be king and give you power. It's not possible. And then he explained in verse 6, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, you are flesh. You are coming to a spiritual place with a fleshly presentation. It's not possible. When you are born as flesh. But when you're born again, that which is born of the Spirit is what becomes spirit. Therefore, when you say Christian, somebody is not spiritual, you are right. It means they lack the Holy Spirit. People who lack the Holy Spirit are very unspiritual. I mean, you'll be surprised. You say pay tithe, no. You said forgive, no. Well, why should I? And of course, why should they? When you are not born again, were you paying tithe? Were you, when you're not born again, were you, I mean, if you see a woman, you just let the woman go like that. You see money, somebody's money is exposed, you let the money go like that. No, that's our natural default. But you, let the Holy Spirit come, change you. The Spirit that is holy transforms your inside to a holy spirit, a holy entity. Let me tell you, it was a struggle to live the Christian life. To wake up to pray was most difficult than to fast. Very difficult to read the Bible, useless book. Useless. That was how I felt. The only time I read the Bible was the Bible knowledge to pass exams. and then to have some scriptures to debate the so-called Christians. I had no spirit. But I went to church. But the difference, when I acknowledged the Holy Spirit on a regular routine, sweet influence of the Holy Spirit, because social intercourse, let me tell you, those who have intercourse, they say it's sweet. I'm a virgin, so I don't know. But those who say, they say it's sweet. Let me tell you, intercourse with the Holy Spirit is the sweetest thing that can happen to you. That's the only way Christianity will be sweet. You will enjoy Christianity. Believe me, without social intercourse, Bible study will be a chore. Going to pray will be a chore. Even coming to church. It's just because Sunday you are off, so yeah, I'm going to go. And things like that. Oh, it's become a routine. But it's not the joy. The excitement of Christianity cannot be done without the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The excitement, the sweetness. That's why we call it, and the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, and the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit be with you. Christianity is sweet. The Bible says in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you enjoy Christianity, it will make you strong. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives you that sweet. Bible is not a sweet thing to you, but look, it is like honey. Bible says, your word is like honey on that. It's like honey, and it's true, but it's only for people with the Spirit. Joy. If you don't imbibe the Spirit, I can assure you the Bible will be dead, a dead book to you. Yeah. If the Bible is not sweet to you, it's not because it's not sweet, it's because you have not engage the Holy Spirit. Intercourse to sweetness. And so, I mean, are you getting what I'm saying? That's what it is. Every Christian must, from today, you engage. I give you a challenge for the next rest of the year. Talk to the Holy Spirit every day in everything you're doing, including reading Bible, praying, giving offering. Worship is like a problem. So you intentionally even come late so that you will miss the worship. But when the Holy Spirit is with you, when you come and they finish the worship, you say, why? Let them start again. Because your favorite sweet incense has been done without. That shall be your story in Jesus' name. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now, today, I want to tell you a couple of things. I will not be able to finish it all, but I will start. So last week, we did the Holy Ghost baptism, and this week, too, we'll do the same. Minutes. 10 reasons or reasons why you, every believer, must speak in tongues. Every believer. You know, last week when I was here, I realized some people, you have been indoctrinated so much that when I said, come and receive the gift of tongues, you fought it and you said, no, you shut down. I will not receive the Holy Spirit. I will not pray in tongues. Everybody who told you that tongues is a demonic thing is a demonic person. Because you can see it in the Bible. Everybody who told you, we call them the Antichrist. Today I'm going to tell you what Jesus said about tongues. So that you will know that anybody who told you that, no, tongues is demonized, is an Antichrist against Christianity. Number one, reason. Speaking in tongues is a promise to every believer. Mark chapter 16, verse 16 and 17. Bible says, Jesus Christ was speaking. It's in red. He said, Mark 16, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 and 17. He said, anyone that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Then verse 17, watch this. And these signs shall follow those who believe. What are the signs? In my name, they shall cast out demons. And in my name, they will what? Speak with. Let's say all read it together. In my name, they shall what? In whose name? In Jesus' name. They shall do what? They shall do what? Does it sound like it's a demon who's speaking? This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, if you believe, you must be able to cast out demons. I've cast out many demons by the grace of God, including demons in myself. Yeah. My children, when they were little, I would cast out a demon. Everybody, including myself, their mother. Yeah. We did it regularly. I'm sure there are no demons anymore. Mommy, remind me to cast out demons from you too. Say amen. Yeah. Every Saturday, bring your head, okay? No, no, seriously. Before the Holy Spirit enters you, there are demons. It's called the spirit of the world. Demons, I said, the earthly spirit, not the heavenly ones. That's why when you are born, the spirit is changed. And he said, when you are a believer, number one, in the name of Jesus, you cast out demons, including demons yours. I mean, when people are sick, I cast out demons. Because it's the spirit of life. And you will speak with new tongues. So it's a promise to every believer. Somebody say, every believer. Point to the person sin by you. You are you a believer? That the person, you must speak in tongues. If the person doesn't believe, the person is not believing, not in you or me. Not believing in Jesus. This is the words of Jesus. Believe it, eh? Learn to change your mind when the truth comes. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come to the Father except you come through the way, the truth, and the life. And access to God is denied many because they deny the truth. Don't deny the truth. The truth is that you must speak in tongues. It may sound crazy funny to you, but don't worry. The fact that Spanish sounds crazy to you does not mean it's not a real language. It just means you are not of the Hispanic type. But the day you get to learn the Hispanic type, you see that it's a good language. It's one of the most romantic languages. Tongues. Anybody who doesn't speak in tongues, don't worry. Don't fight. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you speak in tongues, it will be one of the most glorious times you would ever have had. Yeah. I'll explain to you why. So, tongues, I promise from Jesus to everyone. Okay? 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 And it's Jesus who gives you. I'll show you that one. Number two, speaking in tongues helps you to pray according to the will of God. Do you have a question? I can answer it. Okay. Number two. So the first reason is speaking in tongues is a promise to every believer. If you are a believer, God says, number one, you should be able to cast out demons. Number two, you must be able to speak in tongues. Give me a wave if you understand. It's simple English, you understand. Give me a wave. Good. Number two, speaking in tongues helps you to pray according to God's will for your life. How many wants the will of God to be done in your life? How many wants the will of the devil to be done in your life? Sometimes, last night, I prayed, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Because I've seen that many of my personal decisions have led me astray. But when is the will of God? To work perfectly. So speaking in tongues helps you to pray according to the will of God for your life. What's the will of God? Bible says, Jesus Christ taught us to pray and said, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It means that you cook up my life, prepare it in heaven, and dish it out for me on this earth. Yeah. My children, they are in Ghana, but their lives are cooked here and presented. So they spend dollars, although it's cedis. You know, the rate of the dollar to the cedis, 1:13. When they get $1 here, they get 13 cedis. So it's like they are living an American life in Ghana. You can live a heavenly life on this earth. Yeah, they don't live as people whose parents are in Ghana, but whose parents work in America. Therefore, I earn dollars, therefore they spend dollars. Yeah. Now, when my wife, so they use suitcases that were bought from America. The car they use was bought from America. Let me tell you, the will of their father is being done where they are in Ghana. The will of God must be done in your life here on earth. I don't want any other life than the life that God is preparing for me. Do you remember that scripture? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. He said, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, any human being, what the Lord has prepared for those that love him. Do you know how you get that one? The things he has prepared for you. The next verse, verse 10, says that he reveals his, God has revealed them to us through his spirit. That's how you get to live the will of God on earth, by his spirit. Because the spirit searches all things. Yes, searches the deep things of God. The spirit causes you to live in a deep way the things about God. I don't know what is your thinking, but if God has to prepare you and do everything that he has planned for you, you'll be blessed. He said, I know the plans that I have towards your life, saith the Lord. They are plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Most Christians don't live according to the word of God. But speaking in tongues, it will put you straight in the will of God if you are consistent. Let me read it directly to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Watch this. How many know how to pray? Give me a wave if you know how to pray. Give me a wave if you know how to pray. Oh, give me a wave if you know how to pray. You don't know how to pray. Are you not a Christian? Well, I have news for you. You don't know how to pray. How do I know? Bible says, because likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Because we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You really don't know what to pray for. You are praying that tomorrow, when you get to work, you meet your friend. But maybe what you should be praying is tomorrow, you should not be involved in an accident. Maybe what you should pray for is tomorrow, you'll be able to wake up. But it's not something that easily occurs to us. Because you don't know the future. So we don't know how to pray the way we should. Are you getting what I'm saying so far? You know how you've gone to an exam and you've answered a question, you thought you were right, but you didn't know how to answer the question. You didn't understand it. I've come out of an exam and somebody told me, there was a question on frogs. I said, frogs? I only saw lizard questions. Meanwhile, that was the main question. But it was because I didn't see. I didn't know. Watch this. It's in the same way, the Holy Spirit is here to help our weakness, any place we are weak. That's why Christians who don't have the Holy Spirit, they have weaknesses instead of power. He says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes because of the weaknesses we have. The Spirit helps our weaknesses. One of them is that we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Don't tell me you know what to pray for. But the Spirit himself, do you hear the word himself, is an entity that is as personal, he's impersonalized, and he's actually a personality. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings or tongues which cannot be uttered by normal tongues. With groanings which cannot, the Spirit makes intercession. Intercession means stands for you and does things for you. If I'm interceding, somebody is sick, say, look, let's intercede for the person. The person is in coma. So we are standing in the gap for the person. So Lord, deliver the person from death. You are doing what the person cannot do for himself. You are standing where he would have stood to do it. Intercession is to take, you intercede on behalf of somebody who cannot do it himself. Isabella, say amen. But when you speak in tongues, this is what is happening to you. The Spirit himself is making intercession for you with groanings that you can ordinarily not utter. Now, the second part, verse 27, is even more exciting. He said, I'm telling you, he actually prays for us according to... Now, he who searches the Spirit, the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Clap for the Lord Jesus. When you pray in tongues, so me, I pray, Paul said, I will pray in my understanding. I will pray in tongues also. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. Paul. That's why he was powerful. Many Christians don't pray in tongues at all. Don't care. Yeah. So when you're in a prayer meeting and you're praying in tongues, you're actually doing a great thing. Third, he will pray for the tongues. He makes intercession for this. According to God's will for their lives. What a blessing. Somebody say, what a blessing. Do you see what you are missing? As you are praying, Lord, give me a pencil. Lord, give me a white shoes. Lord, give me a red shirt. And match it with red shoes. And make me like Brother Michael. Brother Michael, come here. And especially give me some jeans. And make my hair curly. Without me having to perm or gel. What a blessing. You are describing Brother Michael. But do you know the other things about Brother Michael? You don't know. You're blessed. So maybe what you should be praying for is a white garment. The Bible says when you use tongues, the Spirit prays according to God's will for your life. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So these are two advantages. Number one, you actually are speaking the promise of God when you pray in tongues. You're casting out demons and you're praying in tongues, as Jesus said. Number two, you pray according to the will of God. So it means your life will actually be in line with what God has planned for your life. And because God has said in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, he said, I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans that are of good and not of evil. It means your life will be a life of good and not evil. Amen. A life of good and not evil. Yeah, there are good chairs here. Yeah, okay. The plans of good and not evil. And he says, I know the thoughts. It's not the one that says plans. Where is the one that says plans? And they are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Tell somebody from today, as you speak in tongues, your future and your hope will be assured. Number three, speaking in tongues builds you up to become a strong and powerful Christian. Builds you up to be. I'll read it again. Speaking in tongues builds you up to become a strong and a powerful Christian. Jude chapter 1 verse 20. There's only one chapter. He says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude chapter 1 verse 20 says, praying in tongues builds you up to become a strong and powerful Christian. Strong and powerful. Someone say strong Christian. Powerful Christian. Many Christians are weak Christians. But the devil says, bring me one small boy. Just tossing you like that. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Says, be sober, be vigilant, stay vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you, before I became a believer, I was tormented night and day with nightmares, dreams of death, fear of death, fear of the unknown. I couldn't even go to my family house because they said there were witches there. No. It's serious. I mean, I felt I would die any day because all my uncles and cousins and things, they either go crazy, they go stealing, they are in jail, something bad. And here I was in fear and having dreams. The day that I got born again and I started speaking in tongues, even dreams became dreams about God. And I became a stronger Christian. I used the scriptures. I prayed in tongues before I would sleep. Prayed in tongues every day. I don't remember the last time I had nightmares. In fact, these days when you wake me up or you see me in my sleep and you hear me, it's laughter by the grace of God. Oh, it's not tears. I used to have. I would be crying and want to even say Jesus, I can't. Haven't you happened to me? You are weak. It's like your body is heavy. Lifting one hand. You want to cry out, Jesus. Heavy. You are possessed. You can feel it. as young as I was. Because, I mean, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't talk. Night after night. But not anymore. Since I became a believer, since I took on the power of the Holy Spirit, since I began to pray in tongues on a daily basis, my body has been charged up, built up, my spirit, like a battery. Jude 1:20. Beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Spirit. From today, start praying in the Holy Spirit. When there's Holy Ghost baptism, come. Number 4, speaking in tongues is talking to God directly in a language only. I'm preaching from the Key Facts, the book called Key Facts, written by Bishop Dag. Everybody has it on your iPad. If you don't have it, at the end of the day, have it free. You're getting it for free. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Free. Everybody can have the book for free. Speaking in tongues is talking to God directly in a language only He understands. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It says, "For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men." So when people say you're crazy, it's true. They don't understand. Speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Speaks to God. If you want a you know, my wife and I, we have a language. If you are a third person, we don't want to hear, you will not hear. I just do the things, you know what I'm talking about, or my sign. It's a secret, coded language. Yes. In case you are a third person, we want you to get rid of you quickly. Yeah. You know, there was a time that there was a Ghanaian family. The police came. Because they were spanking their child, and the neighbor called the police that the parents are abusing the child. So the police came in, said, "We've been called that your child is screaming," and we came in here. They met the child at the door. And the police asked, "Is it true?" And the mother screamed from upstairs in the Ghanaian language that the police didn't understand. He said, "Whoa!" I mean, what he said. I mean, when I say you won't understand, said, it's like, if you dare open your dirty mouth to say anything about the spanking I gave you, that will be your last day. I will be your mother. I will disown you. The child in panic said, "No, it was not my mother. It was not. You heard it from the other house. Me, my mother has not." Clap for the Lord Jesus. That was a coded language. Yeah. When you pray in tongues, even if it's a devil, he doesn't understand what you're saying. You know, sometimes I'm praying in tongues. I'm doing it. I want to pray because I have a message to preach. But the people that I'm doing a procedure with, they understand. So I don't pray in English. I pray. You know what they think? They say, "Oh, they know I'm from Africa." I say, "Oh, he's singing in Africa." No. I'm singing in heavenly tones. I'm singing directly to God. And by the time I arrive here, the power of God is with me. The devil doesn't understand. They don't understand. But if I say, "In the name of Jesus," they'll say, "Hey, look. You know, you are interfering with our religion. You know that we are not all Christians here. They are Muslims. You are manipulating the atmosphere by necessity." But they can't say it. They think I'm singing African. They are fools. I have outwitted them. It's a coded language to my father. Only God understands. The devil cannot understand. The people around cannot understand, but I have expressed myself, and God, who hears and sees in secret, will reward me openly. Clap for the Lord Jesus. What a coded language. And it always works for me. Speak in tongues, the coded language that God. Sometimes God also speaks with the tongue of angels and tongues of men. You know, sometimes some people, when they are speaking in tongues, somebody may be, they be able to interpret.
But number five, speaking in tongues give your spirit the opportunity. Let me not give you, because of time, I'll have to select. You know, when you go, you read the rest. Let me just read them. Speaking in tongues gives your spirit the opportunity to pray. Okay, go and read it. 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. It's, I don't understand. You don't understand. It's my spirit which is praying spirit to God. I don't understand. You don't understand. He said, my spirit is praying. Do you know that your flesh is sinful, but your spirit is born again? The spirit inside of you never sins, no matter what your body says. Fornication and things is a sin of the flesh, not of the spirit. You can grieve the spirit of God, but the spirit cannot sin. So the holiest part of you is your spirit. When you pray in tongues, it's the holiest part of you that is praying. That's why Bible Jude 1:20 said, when you pray, you're building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Your most holy faith. You know how it is when you want to pray. Many people call me, I should pray for them because they feel the pastor is holy. I must be holy. The way I preach powerfully, the spirit of... So you instead of you praying for yourself, you call the pastor, the holy man of God, to pray for you. You've done the right thing, but I can assure you, if you can call the holy man of God, who is in this flesh of sin, who says I don't sin? How better for you to tell your spirit to pray for you with the most holy faith, the spirit that has never sinned before, if you are born again. So praying in tongues deploys the holiest part of Christianity, the Holy Spirit. That's what we call the Holy Spirit of God inside of you to pray. That's why I pray in tongues. You know, there are many of them, but I can't. But I'll just mention them. Speaking in tongues makes your spirit pray the best about things concerning you. Then the next one, speaking in tongues makes you pray for a long time. If you pray to God, how many things do you need? Your shoes, you've got them by the grace of God. You even got a red one as well. You have eaten. The exams are coming. By the grace of God, you pass. Your scholarship is still there. Say amen. What else can you say to God? Yet the Bible says you should pray without ceasing. If you are in love with somebody, you want to spend a lot of time. Have you heard of Smith? 4.5 hours. I don't remember what we spoke about, but we interact. The Spirit of God and tongues make you talk to God. I can be in my room for 7 hours talking to God. About what? I just want to fellowship. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Dun-dun-dun. Draw me near to where you are. That's it. I just want to be with him. David said in Psalm 73 verse 28, New American Standard Bible, it says, as for me, nearness to God is my good. The Bible says in Psalm 145 verse 18, the Lord is near unto those who call upon him, to those who call upon him in truth. So the more hours you spend with God, the more you're changed. The Bible says about Jesus Christ, he was, as he prayed, he was transfigured, or his countenance was altered, changed. As you pray, spending time in the presence of God, you are transfigured. So we need an agency that keeps us long with God. Tongues does it perfectly. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Tongues is the best agent that will make that happen. I can pray in tongues for 3 hours. When my topics are finished, my tongues are not finished. The Spirit of the Lord is limitless in prayer. So when God says pray without ceasing, it's possible to. The next thing is, you can pray in tongues and do many other things at the same time. Because Bible says when you pray, your spirit is the one praying. Your understanding is unfruitful. I am studying, I'm reading the Bible, and I'm praying in tongues as well. I'm driving and I'm praying in tongues. I am under the shower and praying in tongues. I'm writing exams and I'm praying in tongues. Yeah. I am working and I'm praying in tongues. I'm exercising and praying in tongues. Yeah. I'm sitting down and I'm praying. We are even at a party and I'm praying in tongues. Yeah. Anything, God said, anything you're doing, you can be there and be praying. Reading the Bible and praying in tongues. Studying and praying in tongues. Yeah. What are some of the things you do? Driving, cooking. Yes. Shower, yes. Eating. Well, eating, you can. Oh, God. This food is nice. Ah. Oh, such sweet chicken. Lord, I pray that every time when I cook, let this chicken be like this. Powerful. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Someone say powerful. That's how the Christian life should be. So when the Lord says pray without ceasing, he is not somebody who is unreasonable. How can I pray without ceasing? I've got my shoes. I told you last year about shoes. You gave me red and blue. I told you last year about beloved. Now I have a beloved. She's even married me. Now I told you about child. Now you gave me twins. There's nothing left. What else is left? Look, there will come a time if you keep praying this way, you keep interacting with God this way, there's no, God will supply. He said he supplies all my need according to his riches in glory. All your needs will be supplied. So it means if your needs are supplied, you stop praying. That's when your tongues kick in even the more. Even the more. I'm doing laundry and I'm cooking. I'm doing my chores and I'm cooking. I do that all day long by the grace of God. You hear me muttering. And you don't need to understand. But my God understands it and he will reward me. Let me tell you, today we're going to pray that you receive the gift of tongues. Hallelujah. Clap for the Lord Jesus. We're going to pray. Always remember this as we pray about praying in tongues, that it is Jesus who baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist came to witness. Matthew 3:11, Bible says, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water and to repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. All of you, when you come here and you are laying hands, it's Jesus, it's not Pastor Lindsay giving you Holy Spirit, it's Jesus who baptizing you. Receive from Jesus. Last week, I noticed that people were expecting me to maybe slap their head so that the vocabulary box will start shaking, vibrating. No, it's not like that. Okay. So what happens is Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 that and they began to speak as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. It's by faith. You speak when the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. It's not a slap or a vocal. I put a boom box in your throat. Because I realized somebody was there like this. I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to press open my lips. Crack open my lips like a door. It's not like that. One person, I went to pray for them. Everybody received the gift of tongues except him. When we closed from church, he told me, Pastor, I want to tell you something. I said, what is it? He said, I've been so argumentative about these tongues. So as the people were praying in tongues, I felt like I could speak, but I didn't know whether it was correct. And so I kept quiet. I told the man, you have hindered the spirit. You should have spoken. He said, no, I felt that the Holy Spirit would have done the speaking. And then I was just listening for the Holy Spirit to speak. That I was listening for the Holy Spirit to speak. So that when the Holy Spirit speaks, I will say amen. It's not like that. The Spirit gave them utterance, didn't speak. They speak. Eh? And they began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit did what? Gave them utterance. The Spirit only gives you utterance. Gives you an opportunity to speak. It's by faith. I did the same thing when hands were laid upon me. And I didn't understand. I read the book and I understood. Papa Hagen said in his church, a great man of God, nobody spoke in tongues whenever he laid hands upon them. Until he saw this and he taught them. And he realized, oh my goodness,
I've been deceiving these people. I thought the Holy Spirit was supposed to speak, but they were supposed to speak. The Holy Spirit only gave utterance. And he said, from that time, there's nobody who came to the front who didn't speak in tongues. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So, everybody here who doesn't speak in tongues, from today, say, I will. He said, and they were all, somebody say, all, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them word, utterance. The Spirit does not speak. Have you heard the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues before? You are the one who speaks in tongues. The Holy Spirit gives you utterance. He makes you have groanings which cannot be uttered. So he gives you the utterance because you know you cannot have the utterance. So he gives you groanings. You don't have, he gives you the utterance and you do the speaking. He makes an intercession for us with groanings. Some of the tongues are, let me read something to you. So you understand now. And he said, and how do you see? First, you must be born again. Number two, you must desire the Holy Spirit. If you don't want him, don't come. You must, Bible says, Luke chapter 11, verse 13. You who are evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father from heaven not give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So he'll give to anybody and everybody who asks today. I'm telling you today. Last week, I didn't have the time to teach you. And then many people received. How much more today? By the grace of God. Amen. So you pray and ask God to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Like Matthew 3:11 says, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And you have to exercise your faith by speaking. And then finally, you need to, once you start speaking in the tongues, there's no need to stop. Let it flow. How do I know that? John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. The Bible says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes in Jesus or on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Someone say flow. Rivers of living water. And they said, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Ladies and gentlemen, what it means is that when the Holy Spirit comes, it will flow like a river from your belly. And Bible says it is also like stammering tongues. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue, unknown tongue, will I speak. So sometimes, like, have you heard somebody stammering before? Stammering. My shoes. I'll shine your shoes for you. That's how tongues are. When I started speaking in tongues, I always felt, is it real? Don't let the devil deceive you. It's with stammering tongues. When people are stammering, sometimes you're wondering, are these people really, what are they saying? You can't hear, but it's not for you. Let me tell you how stammering is. One person went to sell Bibles. He didn't have any money and went to sell Bibles. Went from door to door to a rich neighborhood. And when he went there, the guy was stammering. One word would take a lot, maybe 3 minutes to speak. So he brought the Bibles and he went door to door. Do you want to buy some Bibles? Bible. Okay. And then he would ask, do you want to read, or I should read for you? Now you'll be surprised, because of the way he stammered. You know, when he comes and he's trying to read for them, out of just pity for him and just not to waste time, he said, no, I'll buy it, but I'll read it myself. You give me the Bible and go. He sold the greatest number of Bibles. Greatest number. Stammering may even be a nuisance, may take time, but it is still effective. God chose stammering tongues. Therefore, if your tongues look like stammering, that is still it. It's in the Bible. And tomorrow, tonight, any day, when the tongues are being spoken and it looks like it's broken and it doesn't make sense, ladies and gentlemen, that is how Scripture describes it. May you be the next person to receive the gift of tongues, and may you believe that what you are speaking with the stammering tongues are from God. Rise to your feet. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. From today, you will have a spiritual code with the Father. You will be built up like a battery. Put your hand on your heart. Bible says, who? What qualifies you? Says, as long as you are born again. As long as you are born again. As long as you are born again, you desire, you shall receive. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2. Please don't move at this time. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of the sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are afar off. That is us. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's our turn. The only thing you need is to be born again. Put your hand on your heart. If you are here today, as we close, you want to be born again. You want to receive the new birth. You want to be ready. Let the blood of Jesus Christ wash you. That's the only thing. You must be born again. Nothing. You don't need to qualify. Certain things. It's your spirit that is receiving. Once you're born again, you are ready. If you are here today, you want to be born again. You want to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. That's the only thing. Or you want to renew your relationship with Jesus so that you'll be ready for this gift. It takes just a second for God to do it for you. If you want to be born again, you want to receive Jesus, or you want to renew your relationship, you want to do that, just lift up your right hand with all eyes closed, wherever you are. God bless you. You want to renew your relationship with God, or you want to be born again. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just, you want a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Just that, wherever you are standing, as you lift your hand, I'm going to pray for you. Wherever you are, whoever, God bless you. God bless you. A renewed relationship. Jesus is sending you a great gift. Father, the hands that are lifted, bless them. Anoint them. Use them. Touch them. Now, if your hand is up, I want to lay hands on you. Come, come, let me pray for you. Come. Walk up to the front. Clap for them as they come. Yeah, come, come, come. Yeah, just walk up to them. Clap for them. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. You want to renew your relationship, or you want God to touch you? God bless you. There is somebody. Sister, you lifted your hand. You can come. Clap for them as they come. Your hand was up. Yeah, come. Come. Clap, clap, clap for them. Encourage them. Now, as you are here, lift up your hands. Thank you, Jesus. And repeat this after me. I want all the congregation to repeat this, because this will be the basis from which you will receive a gift. Say this. Say, Almighty Father, I'm not ashamed of you. Actually, I love you. I appreciate you. I know that I'm a sinner, but you want to give me that new spirit by the new birth, through the washing of the water of the word, and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Please forgive me for my sins, and wash me by the blood of Jesus Christ, and fill me with your Holy Spirit, because I believe. Everybody say, because I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He died for me, and God raised him from the dead. By this confession, I am born again. I am ready fully for every gift. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Wow. Weren't you blessed by that anointed word of God? Come join our services this and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, in person at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Be blessed.